Hey, everybody. This is Becky Davidson with Rising Above Ministries, and I want to welcome you to the Rising Above Ministries podcast. You know, we're coming up on the holiday season, and for so many special needs families, that is a time that can bring so much extra stress. And I am so happy to be able to share this conversation that I had recently with two of my dear friends who are also special needs moms, as we have a conversation about just different things that can possibly come up during the holidays and some tips and techniques of how to manage that holiday stress as special needs parents. I just love getting to hear their perspective and hearing what they have to say. You're going to love this conversation where they share some of the things that they've gone through, some of their experiences, and some of the things that we have learned as we have tried to make the holiday season a little bit less stressful. You're going to want to listen all the way to the end to hear their one thing. I especially love what Emily has to say. What the one thing that she wishes that family members understood about their unique situation when it comes to the holiday. So I know you're just going to love this conversation with my two very dear friends, Jade Cross and Emily Shipley. Hey friends, how are you doing today, girls?
We're good. How are you?
You good?
Good.
All right. Well, I'm glad I have got two of my favorite special needs moms here at the Rising Above office with me today for us to have a raw and real conversation about the holidays. As we all know, the holidays can be a challenging time for our sweet little families. And so we, over the years, have had conversations, just us talking with each other about what it looks like for our families and some of those challenges and trials that we face. But we thought, you know what, let's do a podcast about that because I know other families deal with those same things too. So I'm so glad you're here. So I've got today with me my friend Jay
Hello.
Cross. Jay's here and my friend Emily Shipley
Hi.
Is here. And so Jay, just tell us a little bit about your family, your immediate family, and who all lives in your sweet little home.
Okay. It's me and Cody and Carter and Cambry. Me and Cody are high school sweethearts.
No.
Yeah.
So sweet.
Well, actually middle school.
Oh, wow.
seventh grade. But anyway, Cambry, she's 12, about to be 13 next week.
Oh, my. I did not realize she was about to be 13.
Yeah.
Okay.
Teenager.
Oh, my goodness.
Full blown.
Wow.
She's got autism, found out when she started school. We didn't really do the formal diagnosis of going in the doctor, but, and then Carter, she is 7, going on 17.
Yes, that is true.
Mm-hmm. She's the big sister. Well, she takes care of Cambry. Yeah.
Yeah.
She takes care of us. So she keeps us in line.
So Cambry, tell us a little bit more about Cambry and just what her day to day kind of looks like and a little bit more about her.
Okay. She's nonverbal, but we're working on it. I mean, she can tell us stuff, but she's not.
She uses her iPad a lot
she
to
does,
communicate.
Yeah, she does her communication lamp. She does. Not as much with us as she does her teachers because she makes her mad when we try to talk to her. But she goes to, she's in seventh grade. Yeah. Yeah.
New school year.
Yeah, new school year.
New school.
New school.
Yeah.
New aides. She's got the same teacher, but new aides. And we're navigating puberty and sometimes hard.
Yeah. That's another podcast for another day, isn't it?
Yes,
yeah.
It's, at first it's okay, but now her hormones have caught up and she's hateful. She's a teenager.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah, we're
okay.
Navigating all that.
Yeah. So, Emily.
Yes.
Tell us about your crew.
At my house, it is myself and my husband, Josh, and we've been married for almost 14 years. We have Taylor, who is 10, and Trey, who is 9, and we have a sweet old senior dog, Sammy, and a brand new kitten, Frankie, and that's our
that's
little
your
family.
And so Trey is your special, your child with special needs. And tell us a little bit about Trey.
Trey has severe autism. He was really nonverbal until about 2 years ago. And now he is starting to have, he has echolalia. So he will just repeat TV shows, or he can talk, but it's not always appropriate. And usually he doesn't talk at all.
He knows who I am, and I love it. He does. I love it when I see Trey.
He does.
And he says, Becky.
He does.
It's so sweet.
And he uses PECs, pictures, to communicate a lot. And I guess that's really funny.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so what were the holidays like for you guys growing up? Now, this is what's funny. We talked just a minute ago about, you know, holidays and families. This is a conversation before we started recording. And we discovered you guys are actually related.
Yes.
Distant cousins, right?
Yes, I'm related to Jade's husband.
Okay. So, small town, Tennessee. Yes. We are, everybody's related in some way, form, or fashion. So, you guys are actually related. But you all never did holidays together.
Mm-mm. Cody did, like, family reunions and stuff like that.
Yeah, growing up, I saw Cody some.
Okay. Yeah. So, but Jake, what was it like for you and your family when you were growing up? What did holidays look like for you?
I mean, just the typical, normal, go to grandma's, go to, like, my aunt and uncle, they lived away, so they would, I remember Christmas mornings, they would come and, well, actually Christmas Eve, they would stay with us all night, and then they would be there in the morning. I love that, and he's passed away, actually, my uncle. Last month, so I remember those memories growing up when they would come and spend the night, and we'd do Santa, and they'd wake up and they'd be there, and that was before they had kids and before we grew up, and then, you know, we'd spend the day together, and then we go out my grandma and papa's, which that'll be different too because she's passed away. Yeah. So
you've had a hard few months with family members.
So this year, holidays are going to look real different.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So, Emily, what did they look like for you growing up?
My father lives in Savannah, Georgia. So, growing up, I split holidays with my parents, but mainly I was in Tennessee. And my grandparents have passed away several years ago, but we did everything at their house. We were a really small family. I did spend some Christmases in Georgia, but for the most part, it was in Tennessee, and it was just all centered around our grandparents. They were the rock.
Mm-hmm.
Kids everywhere, you know, food, and football and presents, and it was just a good time. And we always did it. There was never a reason that we didn't get together because our grandparents just made sure that we were always together.
Yeah. So when you guys got married and then you started having your family, what were your dreams and visions of what you thought holidays were going to look like? And maybe they did look like that in those first few years, but what did you think in your mind? Did you think, okay, we're just going to continue on the family traditions and do all these things that we used to do? Is that kind of what you both thought?
Yes.
Yeah. But then, I mean, the couple years, like she said, the couple years, they were, I mean, we just, because she was little, Cambry was little, we just took her with us, but then it got
more challenging.
Yeah, more challenging because you couldn't deal with all the schedules and the keep going here and going there. And it's just a lot with somebody that'd rather be at home and home in their bed and, you know, playing on her iPad and just, you know.
So how different is it than what you thought? So what, you know, we had these dreams. You know, we all do that. We think, okay, this is what I did growing up. So this is what my family will do because we just want to carry on those traditions. But when we are a special needs family and we have kids with sensory issues or kids who cannot transition well, then, you know, we have to relook at things. So how different are things for you, Emily, than what you thought it was going to look like?
They're a lot different. Everything was the same until Trey was probably 3 or 4. And that's when it got so hard. It was so challenging. And we had no idea at the time that it was autism. We thought he had a hearing loss. But when he started trying to run, his meltdowns were just epic. We had family members on, you know, both my side and my husband's side that had talked a lot about discipline. And had been trying those things at home and it wasn't working, and it got really, it was just difficult for him. And then bouncing from house to house to house on one day was impossible. So he was probably about 4 or 5 when I said enough. So my husband would take my oldest son and do all the family things, and I stayed home with Trey, and we had a great time just looking at Christmas lights. We would listen to music, and it was calm, and he was happy, and I mean, that's kind of what the holidays to me are about, is
just being with
just being happy, and if it's not a happy experience, it wasn't worth it.
Yeah. So, Jay, what about you? You know, how did, you know, as Cambry's getting older, did things start getting more challenging for you guys, and what did that look like for you all?
Yes, one year we just left and went to the mountains, and that, I mean, that was
just meaning you and your
me and my mom and dad and my brother, and then of course my aunt and uncle. And of course, when I say that, they've always been, it's been more like closer than aunt. I mean, I don't know, she seems like my older sister than my aunt, but we all just went to the mountains, just escaped it all, just, and we just woke up. And there was snow on the ground and Christmas, and it was just, we didn't have to be anywhere. Mom and my Aunt Judy cooked, and we was all just there, and just, I don't know, it was just not having to be here.
To
no
run.
Expectations.
Right.
Just your PJs all day, don't have to go.
Yeah.
That was a good, then last year, I just, I tried to, you know, speak up and see if we could just make it a little bit later in the day instead of having to be, you know, somewhere right at 9 o'clock, or, you know, right as they open presents. It's just, I don't know, it's just so much hustle and bustle. You can't enjoy your family. And but she'd rather just be in the,
she'd rather be at home
and, just enjoying everyone.
So how, you know, I know, Jade, with your family, you have your immediate family, but you have extended family that's really, really close and is actually more like immediate family in a lot of respects. To you, but how did family members, guys, respond, like kind of your outer circle of family members, respond at holidays? You know, like, did you have family members who quite honestly just didn't get it?
Yeah, they don't. I mean, I try to explain how it's hard, but I just kind of feel like being left, I mean, the black sheep or the left out, you know, because for like, you know, we can't do what we need to do because y'all aren't here.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, but they just, I mean, they've done it this way for so long.
Right. They're not willing to make concessions sometimes to what's going to help your family.
Yeah.
And so that, you know, that can be challenging. Yeah, Emily.
There was I don't know if it was Thanksgiving or Christmas, but there was a holiday event when Trey was about 4, and I took him, and there was people everywhere, and he completely was overloaded. It was too much, and his behavior got insane, crazy, aggressive, and I was getting him out to the car to take him home, and there was one family member that was like, how can I help? What can I do to help? Mm-hmm. And we tried to get him safely into his car seat and get his harness on, and it just felt like it went on forever. But I remember looking up and seeing other people standing outside the house that were just watching. And I remember kind of looking up from my car and just in the moment of stress, and I was trying to get him safely in the car so we could leave. I just had to lean up and I had to say, this is not something for you guys to watch. He knows you're watching. Everybody go inside. Mm. And I feel like that's probably the last time I've been to that house for anything. And I'm pretty sure it's the last time that Trey's been to that house for a big event.
Right.
And I understand that there's curiosity and that everybody kind of, I don't know how to explain it. I understand
people
that want to see.
Right. What's going on.
Right. But in the moment, it's not helpful whatsoever.
Yeah.
And I do regret that I kind of yelled and made everybody go back inside. But
I think, you were in that stressful situation.
Right.
You're trying to get your child calmed down.
Right.
And the holidays in and of themselves are stressful.
And they can tense us. They can sense everybody. Exactly. Yeah, everybody's standing around.
Yes,
yeah.
They can.
Yeah.
They feed off of the energy in the room. And they feed off, I mean.
More than we do.
I don't know about Cam, but Trey feeds off of my energy. Yes, so.
Especially in this last month.
So when you are anxious and nervous about going into a situation already as the parent, they're going to sense that and feed off of that. And so that just makes it more and more, you know, challenging and stressful.
Yes.
So are there certain things that you guys do to try to, you know, I know in those early years, we just kind of all jump in and do what we've always done because that's all we know to do. But in the past couple of years, are there specific things that you have done to try to help alleviate some of the stress during the holiday season?
Yeah. Just last year, I asked if we could do it later in the day instead of going straight out there after. And I don't know what this year is going to look like because everything's
different.
Everything's going to be different. But I would love just this year just to go away again and just be us and just, I don't know. But, of course, you know, the other family members have to have, you know, their stuff that they've always done. So I don't know what it'll look like. But
so when you had that conversation, when you said that, how did your family, how did they respond when you said that?
Some agreed. Some said, well, this is what we're doing. You can be here or not.
And you know, we give everybody the, that's just kind of how it is in some families. It's just like, well, this is what we're going to do. If you want to be here. And if not, not. And
but then I feel bad because, you know, but not for me because, I mean, Kimberly's more important. You know, her happiness and her well-being is more important than because she wouldn't have enjoyed what was going on anyway.
Exactly.
I mean.
Yeah.
Because she just.
Yeah.
Give her her.
Her iPad, and she's happy. Yeah. I know. And that's the thing. I think for our kids, the beautiful thing about our kids is that they just love the simple things.
Yes.
They love the simple things. They love being with us. They love the simple things. They don't have to have the big presents and the big, you know, all the excitement. They are content more so than we adults are so many times. And, you know, I look at just our family situation, you know, John Alex, especially early on, major sensory issues. And so I remember pictures of him. You know, I would always try to do these big, ginormous birthday parties for him, which it was actually for me, you know, and I would have pictures of him. He's completely shut down. He would shut down and just go to sleep because it was too much for him. And so I have all these pictures of him at his birthdays, you know, his first, second, and third birthdays of him asleep in one of his grandparents' arms because it was too much. And he just had to shut down. And now as he's gotten older, that part's better, but he's in a wheelchair. And so, you know, we could get asked to somebody's house, but are we going to be able to get into the house? Are we going to be able to get him into someone's house? Sometimes the answer is yes, sometimes there's no. So for all of us, we kind of have to sit and plot out and plan.
Yes.
You know, if we get invited somewhere, okay. It's like we go into this mode of, okay, can we make this happen? Can we even get in?
The bags that we have to
pack. Yeah, yes. The bags.
Yes.
Do you have the chargers? Do you have the gloves? Do you have the Brave blankets? Do you have...
Yes.
Everything.
Kimberly always has a bag.
If you're going to someone's house, so let's just say that I'm going to have you guys over to my house. I've invited you, your family, your kids, everybody to my house. What does that look like for you in order to be able to come into my environment at my house? What is that going to look like for you guys, Emily?
Well, Trey's been to your house a couple times.
Right.
First time, you've got to have noise-canceling earmuffs for him. He's not a people person. He can't handle a crowd. He can't handle noise. He does not do assemblies at school. He is held in his classroom with an assistant while the entire rest of the school goes. So for us to go somewhere, I would prefer go before it starts, and we've asked that before and been told no because there's cooking or there's, you know, and I get that too. If you're throwing a holiday event and you're cooking and you're trying to shower and you're trying to get ready. But for us, it would be easier to go before the crowd gets there.
Yeah.
Because
let him scope it out.
Right. Because he's going to, it's just going to be too much.
Yeah. If he's in a new environment and then there's all these people.
Yes.
It's just too much.
And he will run. Yeah. And he'll escape if it's too much. And like I said, we've asked and I get it. I get that people are busy and that they can't accommodate us and I don't expect them to. And there was one year that we asked people to come to our house to visit him because I'm not trying to hold him from his aunts and uncles. I'm not trying to hold him away from his cousins. But when you get 25 people in a room, it's not going to work for him. Mm-hmm. It's just not going to work. Mm-hmm. So we did try. I know one year we tried to tell people to come and visit us, and a couple of people did. And now I just feel bad asking. So there's people in this town that he's related to that he's not seen in years just because I can't do the massive crowd.
Right.
But I do, if our family's listening, I'm not withholding him from you. I'm actually just trying to protect him from, because the noise physically hurts him.
Yeah. And that's what people don't understand. For our kids with sensory issues, yes. It's painful.
It's painful for him, and can't do that. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. So, Jade, what do you have to do? Like, I know every time I see Cambry, she's got her iPad. Yep. So you got to make sure you have your iPad. You got to make sure you have your
chargers. The chargers. And if you have one visible at your house, she's going to get it.
Yeah.
She'll charge you. Make sure it's plugged up and make sure it's everything. Yeah. But yes, and sometimes she has little Peppa Pig figurines that she likes to bring with her places. Mm-hmm.
Same.
Yeah, she got away from her iPad for a little while. I'm not sure what happened.
It was the holiday toy that she would sing to.
Yeah. But it's a bag of chargers and an extra iPad and probably extra tablet and whatever else she's picked up to throw in her bag. But yeah, there's usually a bag. But yes, if we go into the house, she has to go in every room, scope it out, make sure there's no extra chargers laying around or anything that plugs in. She'll plug it in, even if it's not supposed to be plugged in. She'll plug it in.
And people ours have to understand
and
that.
Vacuums.
Yeah.
Doors, fans, and vacuums. Yeah. Every single room. Investigate for those three things.
Yeah. And it is hard to go in places she's never been. Yeah.
Yes.
Because, I mean, she had... And the people don't understand why she's going through the rooms.
So right, like, right.
Like, yeah.
This is, and, you know, I think, like, I remember I had a friend who came over with her son who has autism. And the first time he came to my house, he had to go door. He went every closet, every room.
Was that mine?
No, it was not. It was another friend, but everyone. And you know, had to look at everything. And I thought that, how cool is that? So, this friend went with me to my parents' house one time. And so before we went in, I just said, okay, look, when my friend comes in, he is going to go and open up every closet, every door. I wanted to give you fair warning that this is what he needs to do to see his environment and feel safe where he is.
Yes.
And so I think if we can have those conversations ahead of time and go, okay, we want to come, but... This is what it's going to look like. Yeah. This is what's going to go down. And, you know, if you want us to come, this is what you need to know.
And Kimberly, she's never met a stranger, like, at all.
Right.
Like, after my uncle died, everybody was at my aunt's house, and we brought Kimberly because, I mean, that's... It was actually my aunt's son-in-law. Of course, she hadn't really been around him that much. But she just popped down on the couch out on top of it.
How did he respond to that?
He just smiled at it. I mean, he didn't really, you know, say, get, you know, but he didn't. I mean, you know, he didn't. I don't know if it bothered him.
I think that they can find the kind people in a crowd
and go next to them.
I think probably so.
But she's never met a stranger, so. That's the beautiful thing. I mean, like, she don't ever... Because you're who you are, she don't care.
Mine's opposite. He hides from you.
I think if people have, if we can inform them in a respectful way and give them knowledge of what our life looks like why Trey behaves the way he does certain times, why he may put his hands over his ears or why he may act out or why Cambry needs her iPad or why they go and open up doors. For the most part, people are going to be kind about it. There are going to always be people who are not going to understand and who are going to choose to not be kind about it. And that's unfortunate because they're missing out on knowing some amazing kiddos. Mm-hmm. Yep. So
empathy.
Yeah.
I mean,
because everybody don't fit in the same little box. Everybody's right. not the same, no matter how you want and wish they were. It's not.
It's just not going to be. Right.
So let me ask you this, shifting gears just a little bit. Okay. Both of you have, you have your child with special needs, and then yes. you have a child without special needs.
Yes.
How do you balance? How do you balance the needs of Carter, of Taylor, when, you know, maybe they want to go and do things that Cambry or Trey just can't do? What do?
Do you remember me telling you about the 6-burner stove? Do you remember me telling you?
I don't remember. These? Tell us.
So, this is my little analogy in my brain. My life is it's a stove with 6 burners, and I'm all the time moving things from burner to burner. Mm. So, it's, you know, Trey is typically always on one of the front ones, and sometimes you have to shift it around. So, it's like, Taylor, I'm sorry you're going on the back one. Housework is always on the back one.
That one's not even on
right,
the stove.
Right, so it's like, so I'm always shifting, always shifting. I am never even on the stove. Like, my...
What you need.
Has never even made it to the stove. Yeah. So it's a constant shift. But with Taylor, I mean, I try to talk to him every single day. And he's getting bigger. He's in 5th grade now. So this is the first year that they're not in school together. They've always been at the same school. So he's having a hard time with it, and Trey is having a hard time with it. So I'm trying to talk to him as much as I can, because he is getting older and the kids are different, and he doesn't have his brother at the school. And I thought that this would be a good thing for him, but mm-hmm. it turns out that he likes
being with his brother,
being in the same school. So for me, it's just a juggle. And like I said, you know, my pan is never on this 6-burner stove, yeah. and I am constantly shifting, moving.
So what do you do at holidays for Taylor? You know, I know you talked about sometimes yes. Taylor and your husband will go and visit family and mm-hmm. do things
well,
like
he's
that.
He's getting big now that if he doesn't want to go and he chooses to stay home, then that's fine too.
Yeah.
It looks different from year to year to year. It looks different. It changes all the time. We try to go and see my dad around Christmas. In some form or fashion, if we meet them halfway or if we go all the way into Savannah. So we try to do something fun that they both will like. Mm-hmm. We have discovered trampoline parks yeah. or where it's at. but the rest of the time, you know, and my family in Tennessee and my family in Georgia are so good about taking time for both of them.
Yeah.
And it took us a while to figure out how to get to this point mm-hmm. because we didn't know what we were doing either at right. first, but so it's, you know, let's just say my mom is talking to Taylor. My sister will be doing what Trey wants to do. Or if we're in Georgia, you know, my dad will be hanging out with Taylor. My stepmom will be, come on, Trey, let's vacuum the floor for the 16th time. Let's open and shut these doors. So mm-hmm. it took us a while to get to this point, but we just divide and conquer.
Yeah.
And
did you have a conversation with them about what you needed in order to get to that place?
I mean...
Or was it just conversations along the way?
It was conversations along the way, yeah. but it's always changing.
Right.
So even if I say something to a family member, let's say I said something when Trey was 4, we're at a whole different place
yeah.
right now. So yeah. the family that's the closest to me that I talk to the most know what's going on, and we just accommodate. But we never leave Taylor out.
Yeah.
But like I said, it's that six-burner stove. You know, we're just shifting. Yeah. And
the mom's never on the stove.
Never. Mine never makes it.
So, Jade, what about with Carter? Carter is in 1st grade mm-hmm. now. And, you know, so what she wants to do is going to be different than what Cambry's going to want to do.
Yes.
How do you guys make the holidays work?
That's a whole, the, yes.
With the different needs.
That's a whole, because, of course, when Cambry was growing up, I mean, we didn't really have to be, you know, if any little kids are watching, you might want to step them, keep moving away. So the Santa Claus thing, I mean, we didn't really care. I mean, we did Santa Claus, but it wasn't really a big deal because
right.
Cambry, I mean, she didn't really care if what she got or what. But now Carter is all about it. All about mm-hmm. Santa, all about the elf.
Girl
and
Julia yeah. right now.
Yeah.
We never did Elf on the Shelf.
Yeah.
But now.
that she's all about.
Yeah, she's all about.
So you're making sure she's getting what she wants and what's important to her, even though it was different.
Yes, we're having to add stuff.
I can remember Taylor saying, "Why is our elf always so up high?" And it was just because you can't touch the elf, and Trey would touch it and move it, and he would freak out.
Yeah, so you had to figure out how to make
but
that
he has asked, "Why is the elf always on the ceiling?" Well,
because
he's watching you.
So let's talk about presents, and let's talk about, like, what, you know, I think, I know for us, you know, John Alex is 22, but we use baby toys because he wants his music toys.
Yep.
And so how do you communicate to your family members kind of what their needs are, what they want, what they don't want? Or, you know, a lot of times John Alex really, as long as he's got his car that he can play with, he's great.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
His one toy that he loves, he's great. But, you know, about what kind of gifts to get for our kids, plus how opening gifts in our family might look a little different.
Yes. Yep.
So share your thoughts on those.
I mean, we get, of course, we get the clothing, you know, the different clothes and different, of course, they don't, people don't understand why she don't, I mean, she just, if she sees a piece of clothing, she's just going to throw it. I mean, she don't care about stuff like that. But, if, I mean, yes, I mean, like any electronic little gadget that she can figure out, she loves stuff like that. But, like, every, I mean, give her her iPad and she's fine. Mm. We can get, like, iTunes gift cards. Those are helpful, so she can buy games on her iPad. Just, of course, they've, people's caught on, you know, of course, we've gotten a lot of iTunes gift cards and Amazon gift cards that we can get.
Amazon's always great.
Yes, yeah. So we can get what she wants. I mean, she loves the open stuff, but it's not always something that she enjoys.
So what does it look like? We were talking before we started recording about,
yes, ma'am,
about opening presents.
Okay,
share your story about opening presents.
I just thought of something when you said presents.
Yes.
If you should get my kid a baby present, which he loves, that plays music and lights up, will you just tell me what batteries it needs? So that's devastating.
Yes.
When he opens it, and he's like, I can't make it work. But Trey, he doesn't go and open presents. So we can have presents underneath our Christmas tree, and he will leave them alone the whole entire time. If we go to somebody's house and there's other children and they open presents, he has to investigate it. He has to touch it. He has to pick it up. And we are working so hard with him on my turn, your turn. Please know that we're not going to steal your child's toy. But he it's an impulse, and he has to check it out. So that's another reason that it's easier to keep them at home, is because I do know how bad it upsets parents whenever their child opens a present and then Trey's all over it. He really can't control this. It's total impulse for him. But just please be patient with us. We're not going to steal their toy. And I'm so sorry that it upsets you. But
he's just curious to see what it is.
Right.
He wants to see what it is. It's a toy that's
absolutely
there. And so, you know.
And he's simple. He had a birthday party last weekend, and he got probably 10 things of bubbles. They're $1 at the Dollar Tree.
Yeah.
Can I tell you that's his favorite thing in the world?
Oh, he's got bubbles in his bag at my house for
still need to bring.
<That's> so funny.
But he's just, so I mean, he likes simple things, and gift cards, like Jade said, are good because we can pick, I don't know. And honestly, last year, I felt like he had tons, and there was family that we don't see that often that would call and say, what do we do for Trey? What do we do for Trey? And I actually said, you know, this child is super blessed, but we do have a need in the family, and he's not going to know either way because he doesn't go to that celebration, so he's not going to miss that gift. So last year, I said, you know, if you really want to spend money on our family, you know, can you get my husband some work clothes, or that's where the need is. But if he's not going, he's not going to miss
that.
He's not going to miss that present. And honestly, we don't expect the presents for him. But my big thing is just when we go somewhere and there's other kids and they have toys, we are working really hard on it. But just please be patient with him.
Just be offering grace to each other.
Yeah.
You know, and I think so often too, people, they stop inviting us.
They do.
Because there's times that we just can't, you know, we could get up in the morning and think everything's going to be going great, that we're going to make it to this event, we're going to make it this family thing, and then our child has a meltdown, or needs to take a nap in order for us
runs
to be
a
able
fever
or whatever.
Anything if that, yeah.
And so then when we have to keep canceling, people stop asking. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you just want to be asked. Even if you can't go, you just want to be included and asked, even if you have to say time and time again.
Right.
So, you know, I think for people to understand, the extended family members to understand, please just keep asking. Keep asking, and I want people to ask questions. I don't mind at all for somebody to go, hey, I see this behavior, you know, see this, whatever. Tell me about that. You know, I love it when people say, tell me about your child, or tell me about that. I'm not offended in the least.
Or just don't talk about them when they're sitting in the room, because they are listening.
They
don't talk, but
yeah.
they can hear you, yeah. So save the comments and the questions, or go to the next room.
Absolutely.
If I don't know.
Absolutely.
He can hear you.
Yeah.
Cambry can hear, and John Alex can hear.
Yeah.
And
you're right.
And that's hard, because it's easy to think that
they don't understand.
They don't understand, but I promise they're so smart.
Yeah. Yep. They're hearing
so
everything
smart.
That's been said. So one of the most stressful times around the holiday season is trying to get the perfect Christmas card. And I know that's been the case for us over the years. What about for you guys?
Uh-huh. Oh, yes.
Oh, my goodness. So I remember back when John Alex was little, and we would send out Christmas cards every year. And it was back when he was a baby and little, and you know, the first couple of years, digital cameras were not around. I know I'm a whole lot older than you girls, but digital cameras haven't always been here. And so back when John Alex was little, we would have to do the rolls of film and then go get them developed. And hopefully get the one shot that was good. So we would take roll after roll after roll of pictures trying to get that one perfect shot. So Jade, I know you guys, you do family photos at Christmas every year. So share a little bit about your experience and what you guys do to try to get that, quote, perfect shot.
Yes, a lot of behind the scenes, jumping jacks, a lot of flips and funny faces, and most of the time it's an iPad on the head of
somebody else,
yes,
yeah.
or changing out a Peppa Pig show, or making sure she's got something to watch that she likes on her iPad.
And it's funny because, you know, it's so often, if we go to a photographer or someone's taking our pictures who don't understand our life, and they're trying to get our children to, you know, pose and look at the camera, they're not going to do it. And so it can be frustrating for mom, and it can be frustrating for the child. And, you know, I think when we can find that person to take pictures of our families who get it and who don't try to get our children to pose and just understand, look, we're just going to be ready. We're going to be ready for that perfect
yes.
shot. So,
yes.
So iPads, get having other people to laugh and help get your child laugh. And then you could, because your pictures are always beautiful. And so, you know, I know that you, you really have got some things down pat now as to how to get that perfect shot. What's her favorite thing to do when you're trying to get her to pose? What's the one thing that y'all do that just really gets her?
Usually, I mean, she focuses on her iPad, but if it's usually that one jumping jack, or that one, if somebody accidentally falls or somebody makes a funny, you know, funny face or a silly face, it's usually that, but she has to have something besides the camera to focus on.
Because
yeah.
It's just, they don't care.
No.
They don't care that's a
no,
camera.
No, you're not going to say, look at that flashing light and smile, because
yeah.
she does not understand what that flashing light
doesn't get it, but you can do all kinds of things
yeah.
around her.
Yeah.
What was so funny, I posted some pictures of a recent beach trip, and someone commented, oh, John Alex always smiles in your pictures. And I just wanted to say, I did say, you know, if you only knew what was going on behind the scenes, because my friends were there. We had, you know, his red ring that he loves to twist. In fact, my favorite picture from the beach, I had to crop out half of me because we were trying to crop out the red ring. But he would look down. And so, but if we took his red ring and put it in front of him, he would look up. And then you don't see on the other side, somebody else is holding an iPhone playing Wiggly Safari so that he can hear his music and be happy. And we could get that one shot that was good. But to me, it was hysterical to look at the pictures, to see all the behind the scenes, my friends laughing, my friends jumping up and down trying to get
yes.
him
yep.
to pose. So,
and usually there's some kind of, either I had, this past time we had pictures done and it went really smoothly, but we had a Peppa Pig microphone that made all kind of Peppa Pig noises. It's playing, like we'll hit it, so, and she'll laugh and look at the camera because one of me or Cody, one has the microphone hitting the noisemaker, so she's
happy. Yeah,
she can hear.
And that's so those are some great tips though to help minimize
hide the toys, hide it behind somebody.
And I think it's funny though sometimes when those things that you're using to get them to laugh actually end up in the shot.
Yes.
You know, because that's the
real
world. Yes. I mean, that is the real world for our family. So, so photos can be a stressful time, but there are some things we can do to help alleviate some of that stress.
So, my thing about pictures at holidays is if everybody is screaming, "Hey, Trey, look at the camera, Trey, look at the camera," and it's not going to happen. Maybe just let one or two people that he's super, super, super close to hold him. If you don't get his sweet little face, the top of his head is just as beautiful.
I love that.
I mean, it's okay.
Say that again. I love that. If you can't get him to look at the camera.
No, if you can't get him to look at the camera and he's looking down, I mean, the top of his head is gorgeous. If he's not in the picture, if he's off playing, there's really no need in seven people saying, come on, Trey, because he's not going to do it for sure then. Maybe just find the one or two people that he is bonded with the most, you know, let us handle it. And if he's not going to come, it's okay just to take the picture and move on. But
we're not going to be offended.
No.
If our kids don't end up in the picture,
It's
okay.
Because it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
No, because we know what was going on behind
the scenes. Yeah.
I mean, most of the time, Cambry is off in another room by herself looking at books. Yeah. And I'm usually with her. So.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it's sweet to have those pictures that are not so staged anyway.
The louder the noise level gets to try to get him to cooperate. And I don't know how Cambry is, but the louder and the more people that are trying, you're actually doing the exact opposite of what you're trying to get done. Yeah. So just let mom or aunt, just let us handle it. Or dad, just somebody that's super duper duper close to the kid, let us handle it. And if they don't want to be a part of it, just move on. Yeah. So it's okay.
Yeah.
We're not offended and it's fine.
Yep. So if you girls could design the perfect holiday, the perfect Thanksgiving or Christmas for your immediate family, what would it look like? What would it look like in your world to have the perfect holiday in your world?
I would be I'd love to just stay home and everybody come to us. Just come to our house. We're going to be in pajamas. Bring all the food to us.
Yes, please.
You cook it and bring it. And just, I don't know. I mean, it's
easier for us to do things at our house. And I think that's what people don't always understand.
Yeah,
it's so much easier. It's easier for people to come to me.
But then it's selfish. You know, I feel selfish asking that because, I mean, we're not the only one in the family.
Right,
so,
right.
But I don't know. Sometimes you do feel left out because you're like,
we just can't.
Yeah. And you're in the, feels like, of course, I mean, in our family, you know, we are the only ones with special needs. So it's like, everybody don't need to cater to us. I just don't feel, but sometimes it is easier just to step back and stay at home. And
then we start isolating ourselves,
yeah,
which isn't good.
No.
But it's, you know, that's not good.
No.
So Emily, share what you did a couple of years ago.
At Thanksgiving.
I had the best Thanksgiving
with Trey. So my husband took Taylor to his uncle's house for Thanksgiving, and this was probably my favorite Thanksgiving ever. We turned off all the lights in the house. Look, y'all don't hate, but my trees are up by Thanksgiving. And I said trees, it's plural. I'm really big into this. But so all the lights were off. The Christmas trees were lit. I really miss my grandparents, and I have a lot of really good memories growing up with my grandparents. But we watched old movies, and one big thing that we do is we listen to old good Christmas music.
Classics.
Like good
Sinatra
and Bing and Dean Martin. And so I had the Christmas trees were lit. All the lights were out. I played some Sinatra. I picked that baby up and for hours I held him and we danced. I was trying to teach him how to dance like a gentleman because it's just a happy memory for me. And like I said, I miss my grandparents so much. Mm-hmm. My grandpa would sing and play piano and it was just, I can't do those things, but I can recreate some of the traditions that I like with Trey, and it was the two of us, and he smiled, and it was my favorite Thanksgiving ever, 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 because he's not going to eat the turkey. We have to take chicken nuggets and fries.
Stop at Hardee's, whatever. Yeah. Fries, yeah. Whatever restaurant's open.
Yeah. So he doesn't care about that part of it. So we just had our own little date. And every year.
That's what you did. What? Tell about Friendsgiving.
Jade and I had Friendsgiving one year. Yes, and that was so much fun. We had how many?
It was a bunch.
There was maybe 11 different families, and
majority of them special needs families. Right?
Everybody had special needs child, and then there were typical children. But we got together, and my kitchen had a Chick-fil-A nugget tray, a bowl of popcorn, goldfish, and then there was like the adult good stuff like sandwiches, fancy sandwiches. But we just hung out, and the kids played, and it was
great.
It was fun because Becky. When I met Becky, I met all my new friends, and I mean, we're just like family. So it was the craziest Thanksgiving. It was the oddest looking Thanksgiving to a typical family, but we had so much fun. There was stuff for the kids. There was the adults got to hang out. It went on all day. It was awesome.
And I love what you said about just what you said. You know, I think so often, you know, we have these visions of what things were like for us growing up as kids. Uh-huh. And it's okay for those things to change and look different. And for there are some people who are listening to this podcast who live in areas where they don't have immediate family close. Because of their child with special needs, they can't travel to go be with family.
Right.
But I love what you did. You brought Thanksgiving to you and created it, that event, that day.
Why don't we do that every year? Why did that stop?
So I have a feeling there's going to be a Friendsgiving going on this year. Well, and it's like for us, you know, last year was our first, was like the second year since Jeff had died. My sisters were scattered in different places. And so I had these dreams of what I thought, you know, I grew up having huge Christmas celebrations. And leading up to Christmas this past year, I mean, I was dreading it. You know, my husband was not with us, and my dad had passed away right before Jeff died. And I just was dreading it. And it ended up Christmas Day. We spent Christmas Eve with Jeff's parents. And then Christmas Day was just my mom and John Alex and myself. And I thought, this is going to be horrible. You know, just leading up to it, I was like, this is just not going to be any fun. And, you know, we actually had a really good, quiet day at home. And it was nice. And so this year, we're switching it up even more. We're going away for Christmas with my sister and my mom, and we're going to go to the beach and just do something completely different. And I think, you know, it's okay for us to say we're going to start making our own traditions for what our family needs.
Yeah, I mean, because you had with your family growing up, you had yours, but now you're a separate family. You need to start your own tradition and start what's best for you.
For your family. As long as there's joy, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that just to you know, we can invite those to come along with us. This is what's going to work for our family. And to be bold and brave to be able to stand up and go, this is what's going to work for us. You are welcome to come join us in this. But for us, this is what's going to work. And so that's, you know, we're changing stuff up, you know, for our family to do what's going to work, what's going to be best for us. So, okay, so we end every podcast with the one thing. So I want to know, girls, what is the one thing that you wish that your extended family knew about your family, what your family needs at Christmas? What's the one thing you wish that your extended family, what they could understand about what your immediate family needs for Christmas?
That's a tough one because there's so much, but
you can say more than one if you need to.
Just lenience, and if we needed to be alone, or just if we need to go and be just us this year, because a lot's happened this past year, and just to understand
to give grace,
and just say, you do what you need to do for what's best for y'all. Because, I mean, I don't know. It just feels like we need to get back to what makes us happy. Because I don't know. It's just going to look a lot different this year. Yeah. But just grace and understanding.
Mm-hmm. Emily, what about for you? What's the one thing you wish your extended family members knew what you needed during the holidays?
Our our feelings towards our family has never changed. So if we, if we're not there, and if you can't swing by and visit us, there's no hate. Our feelings have never changed. And it's like you said, just give us grace. We're not doing this because we're mad at you or that it's nothing. It's nothing like that whatsoever. But for me, I get so into the holidays and birthdays, and it's a joyous time for me. So I want him to have that same experience, and it just looks a little different. But if we don't come, just keep inviting us. And if we don't come, our feeling, we're not upset.
Yeah.
We're not upset with you, and we love our family, but it's we gotta feel joy. Mm-hmm. And we don't expect you to accommodate, because it's like Jade said, I feel selfish every time I ask, hey, can we come an hour early? And it's okay if you say no, but if we don't come, there's reasons. And also, if we say we're coming and we don't, it's just because our life is so unpredictable. I mean, we don't know from 5 minutes to the next. So just...
If please. Your iPad ain't charging right,
or if your sock is on wrong, it could be devastating and last the whole day. But just our feelings hadn't changed towards our family. It's just a little bit different.
But I think, like you said, keep inviting. Keep asking.
I think it'd be great if they would call and say, "Hey, do you guys have an hour that we can just come by? Because we want our kids to know you guys. We want our kids to know everybody in our family." But when there's 30 of you in a room, in my case, it's not gonna be a positive thing, and that's not what the holidays are about. And I mean, my holidays were full of joy, and I want my children to have holidays that are full of joy. Mm-hmm. So I'm a fierce mama, and I'm gonna protect that. Yeah. I'm gonna make sure that happens. But it's nothing against you guys.
Yeah.
Just call and see if you can swing by. You don't have to bring presents. You don't. Just come and meet them. They're really cool kids. Yeah.
Emily, I love that. I love that. And I just think that's a great place to end our conversation. Just with that heartfelt plea. It's not that we're trying to keep our kids away or when, you know, it's that we, as mamas, we know that if we put our kids in situations that are not going to be best for them, it's not going to end well.
Yeah.
And so we're
For anyone.
Yeah. And so to have grace, I think that's the thing. It's just everybody extend grace. For us to extend grace to those people who are not going to understand, and for others to extend grace to us for just a little deeper understanding that our life just looks different. And so, girls, I just am so thankful for you and your willingness to have this real conversation.
Yep.
This is a raw and real conversation about holidays and about how challenging it can be. But I think you guys are rock star mamas. And
I'm
thankful that you're my friends and that we get to do life together. So thank you, girls, so much for sharing a part of your life with us here at the Rising Above Podcast. You.
Thank you for listening to the Rising Above Ministries podcast. We would like to thank Jimmy Thorpe and Patrick Mayberry for providing the music for our podcast today. If you like what you hear, please take a minute to leave us a rating and review. This helps others like you find our content more easily. You can learn more about how Rising Above Ministries is encouraging the special needs community by checking out our website at risingaboveministries.org or by finding us on Facebook and Instagram. We look forward to connecting with you.